Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
As the game gets underway here at the Abbey Stadium, Cambridge immediately going down the Charlton left. Stands on the ball now, trying to find Blackett Taylor. He's got Morgan inside of him now. Blackett Taylor still on the outside left. Will receive it from Morgan. Space for Blackett Taylor into the penalty area. He goes, gets back in on his right foot, gets a shot deflected, and it's in. A deflected shot by Blackett Taylor has found its way into the bottom corner of the net. And Charlton have the lead. Didn't see who the deflection came off. Morgan released Blackett Taylor on the left-hand side. Blackett Taylor cut inside. It might have come off Warman.
Yeah.
Charlton have the goal. They have the lead. With 28 minutes gone in this second half.
Yeah, very difficult to tell actually who that did come off. But the young fullback Bennett goes in to make an interception when he shouldn't, and he leaves that right back spot wide open for Blackett Taylor to be able to do what he likes with. Actually, he can drive outside, he can drive inside. He eventually comes inside on that right foot, and I'm not even sure that shot's threatening the goal. It's going sideways, and it seems to hit Warman and deflect.
I think it might have even been Ocadina actually.
I think it's Warman, but this shot's going nowhere near the target, I don't think. So we've had a massive deal of fortune there in terms of how it's hit their player and gone in the back of the net. But that, like I said, this game should never be 0-0.
Attempted ball forward, that's going to be picked off by Clare. His header goes straight to Hooland. Well robbed by Bamwo. The shot comes in, deflected again, and it's another goal. Charlton have got a second. It's another second fortunate deflection that takes it away from Mannion. And the Addicts now have a two-goal cushion.
I'm just wondering how this hits Washington, because they're claiming for offside.
Oh, it did hit Washington.
And I think he's offside. So it's not just a huge slice of fortune on deflection. I think VAR would chalk that one off, but luckily we don't have it and we're 2-0 up.
It was Washington. It was an Unico shot. Great work in the first place to win the ball back for Charlton. Washington, Unico when he was released, got the shot away as a header in by Clare, who kept the run going and won the ball back for the Addicts. An Ike shot, come off Washington.
Offside.
And we can't see down the line.
You're never going to get it. You know, there's no way they can pick that up in real time, but it's certainly offside. I'm not even sure it was a particularly crisp shot, but the deflection does for the keeper, and we're 2-0 up, and seemingly 3 points are in the bag.
And that is time up here at the Abbey Stadium.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me on this week's show as we look back at the 2-0 win over Cambridge on Tuesday and, of course, ahead to Saturday's last home game of the season with Shrewsbury Town. First up, Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, not bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm getting emotional that this season is drawing to a close.
Cannot wait.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Tops off. Open top bus to celebrate the end of the season. And joining us, he'll be driving the bus, Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate. Looking forward to the end of season surge to finish 12th.
Yeah, well, buzzing. It's still up for grabs after Tuesday, that 12th place finish.
You know.
If we'd lost, we would have been consigned to another bottom half of League One finish. I think it would have been the third in about 8 or 9 years. It would have been the first in 5 years, but Now we could still be, let's not get our hopes up too much, but we could still finish in the top half as well. So something to really get our teeth into between now and the end of the season. So on this week's show, as I said, we just heard there the goals from that win at Cambridge. We'll have a little discussion about that game, the performance here, Johnny Jackson's thoughts on it as well. Then there's a fair bit of contract news you may have seen this afternoon. We put out an interview with Johnny Jackson and one with Connor Washington where he explains that no one has been offered a new deal at all yet. We hear from Connor as well, his current contract situation, not been offered anything as of yet. We know some of the players who will be leaving now as well. Richard Corley reporting earlier that we're going to lose the likes of Gunter and Soiree and Watson as well. So we'll discuss that before, as always, getting your messages and looking ahead to the game with Shrewsbury on Saturday at the Valley. So, Tom, 2-0 win over your... It's not quite your hometown club, but the local area where you're from. I mean, that must have put years of hurt behind you.
I mean, just the fact that we're in the same division of them was tough enough for me, because when I was growing up there, they were probably fourth tier, a complete guess, maybe third tier. And obviously, for a lot of that time, we were Premier League. So I never thought I'd see the day, particularly because up until about 4 or 5 years ago, someone I was at school with was playing for them. So it's been a weird old time. But on the whole, just for the game itself, it was it wasn't a brilliant spectacle, I didn't think. But we got the job done with two stunning finishes, clinical goals. There's a reason that we're pushing that top half of the table when we can score goals like that. And ultimately, I think the only thing we can really say is, again, ending the season on a positive perhaps sets us up for next year. I mean, not if nobody gets offered a contract and they all leave, but I think that's pretty much all we can look for at the moment. I think even Scotty Minto was pushing the can we finish in the top half narrative, because that's really all we've got to look forward to now. So yeah, we've stood a bit of pressure, I thought, at times, and ultimately got the job done with those two goals. So yeah, it was a very functional win, I guess, but yeah, hard to get motivated for a game like that, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, at half time, Nath, I was still frustrated. I was thinking we're a bit, I don't know, a bit all over the place at times. We were a little bit haphazard, but then we did turn it on a bit more in the second half. I mean, there were chances at both ends, to be fair, in the first half, but in the second half I felt we took a little bit more control, and as Tom mentioned, two stunning finishes. I mean, it was two massive slices of luck with how the ball ended up in the back of the net. But I mean, when you got a player like Corey Blackett-Taylor, I mean, that is what they call making your own luck. He gets into those areas so often. And that goal that we saw edge the Addicts ahead, it was only 17 minutes from time. I mean, it clearly went in off Warman. The last I checked, they've still given it to Blackett-Taylor, because I think the dubious goals panel must have been on an extended Easter holiday. But, I mean, he deserves to have played a part in a goal at the very least.
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment of it. I think the first half was just a poor game, really. Like a end-of-season low and just littered with errors and misplaced passes. Just lacking quality, really, first half. And, yeah, I was just buzzing for it to finish, you know, to be honest. I just couldn't wait just to wait for the final whistle and go. But yeah, I'm glad for Corey. I said on Twitter the other day, I'm actually glad for him, because at the moment, everything that's good out of a game is coming through him. Sometimes it can be a bit predictable, but he's drawing players. I mean, their right back done a little bit of a job on him first half, I thought. He'd done quite well, and as the game wore on, Corey got into some good spaces. He let go of the ball when he had to, and obviously his pace gets him in so many good positions. I was really pleased. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest of finishes, but you know what? A goal's a goal when we look back to that time where we couldn't buy a goal. It doesn't matter how they all go in. It doesn't say how the goal, you know, was scored on the old stats or the history books. It's just if you scored one. So I still don't know how he's got that, as you say, but he'll take it for sure. He might get a little goal bonus. Who knows? But yeah, glad for the core.
Yeah, and obviously, again, the second one, we'll talk a bit more about Connor later on, because we've got a couple of clips from his interview I did with him, Tom, but a striker needs one sometimes, and he had a couple of chances throughout the game, and he's had chances in the last six. That was his first goal in six games, and he gets one the way that every striker who's going through a little bit of a drought probably dreams of. One just hits the back of his head and wrongfoots the world's unluckiest goalkeeper.
Yeah, I was about to say, how many times have we spoken about our strikers just needing one off the backside or just at that little bit of luck to go in. And I think I saw his interview after the game and he was putting it down as a header because it came obviously came off his head. But you're right, I think he's probably one who I would have said when he's played, and I know he's had injuries, but when he's been in the team, you always know what you're going to get from him in terms of hard work and all of that. But also, I feel like his goal return on the whole has been pretty good. And then of late, obviously, it's probably the worst it's been for us in the past few weeks. And it's obviously, I would assume, playing on his mind, and he'll have wanted to get a goal any way he could. So, yes, it was fortunate. And yes, he pretty much knew nothing about it. But ultimately, that doesn't matter. If that gives him confidence to know that he's back amongst the goals, then that's really all that's important, because he can take that confidence into the Shrewsbury game and into the Ipswich game. And if he is rewarded with a new deal, which is something I'd like to see, then he can hopefully take that into next season. Because, as I say, up until the last couple of months, I think his goal return for us has been pretty good and pretty consistent. But, yeah, struggled a little bit of late. So, yeah, I was delighted for him. As I say, another slightly fortunate one, but Anike was brave enough. I think it was him who took the shot from the edge of the area, had a go, and it came off him and went in. And yeah, in the end, the result, as he said, it's, you know, nobody's going to look at how it went in. They're just going to look at the fact that he scored. So yeah, I was very pleased for him.
Yeah, and as I said, we will talk even more about Connor later on in the show, because I've got my post-match interview with him where I do ask him about his goal return, try and sort of gauge how he's feeling about it. We probably ought to talk about our midfield a little bit, Nath, especially in the first half. Like I say, that no side really took control of the game. You know, we got a few let-offs, actually, I think, and we'll come on to Macca maybe in a little bit as well with Tom. But what did you make of the performances of the likes of Gilby and Morgan in that game?
Yeah, it was a bit of a disappointing one, really. I just think, you know, the midfield as a whole, it's just pretty much the story of the season. I think we're so easy to play against. I mean, it's not for the want of trying. Obviously, Dobbo's, you know, player of the year for me and hasn't put a foot wrong really all season, apart from a couple of bits early on. But I think he had okay. But even his passing was a little bit off. There was a couple of wayward passes, which happens. But, I mean, Gilby, again, is just... You just don't know what Gilby you're going to get. Sometimes you get the industrious one, that, you know, works hard, and like, he obviously worked hard again the other day, but it's just the control, you know, the passing and just his movement, and it's just hard. So if you look at the midfield, he's not really stamping his authority to say, yeah, I want to be part of this 11 next year. Morgan done okay, buzzed about, but I mean, defensively, I just think there were so many times in that first half where who did we play again? Can't remember now.
Cambridge. End of season lull. Nathan's on the beach already, as we've mentioned.
But like, there were so many times they didn't create too many clear cut. I don't think they had a shot on target. I might be wrong, but they were cutting through our midfield with like one or two passes so quickly, and then it's all down to Dobbo to try and win it back more or less on his own single handedly. So disappointing, really, because I thought at the end of the season, it's an area where we've not scored enough goals in at all. And I was expecting sort of Gilbs, and Morgan was out for a bit and has come back in. And you're expecting him to push on and go, yeah, I want to be, you know, hands up. And go, I want to be part of this 11 next year. And they haven't really done it. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, if the last two games change anything. But yeah, I was a little bit disappointed, if I'm being honest with you. But I can't grumble. We still won. So, but yeah, disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I did say we ought to talk about how some of their chances came about, and there was maybe, I'd say, two or three occasions in this game where Craig McGivray made an error again. And I hate to point it out, because I was infused by his performances between sort of Accrington and Rotherham. I thought he'd improved a fair bit, but I mean, twice he gave the ball. Obviously, we saw what he did last week against Morecambe, where he gave the ball away, and there was twice he gave it to Tracy, I think it was, and you know, he was a real pacey player for Cambridge and caused us all sorts of problems. There was a fumble as well from like a long, hard, low shot, the sort of one you'd expect him to hold on to in the second half, Tom, where Jason Pearce had to sort of bail him out. It's been a real tough introductory season for Craig, and you don't want to see that. You want to see a keeper who's feeling a bit more assured of himself, and I just wonder if what happens now in the summer, is he one that we we have to replace, improve upon? Is he one that we give another chance to and ask him to return to the form that he has showed in spells this season and obviously must have at Fratton Park when he was Player of the Year?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one because there's been spells where he has definitely kept us in games, possibly even won games for us. And then there's been spells where he just looks like just a really poor keeper. And, you know, you mentioned that mistake against Morecambe, giving the ball away last week. And, yeah, again, almost guilty of it again on Tuesday night. And it's a really difficult one because I like him. I think he comes across quite well, as you say, Player of the Year last year. There's clearly a good goalkeeper in there. I just don't know if he's...
We have to be ruthless, don't we?
Exactly. And we're obviously talking about all the contract situations at the moment. We've got Maynard Brewer, who's just earning rave reviews and, you know, getting a lot of coverage in terms of his potential. And as you say, if we're going to be ruthless, if we are going to have a bit of a squad overhaul in the summer, then you have to look at it and think, is this the man to get us either the title or certainly get us promotion? And I think probably at the moment, the answer is no, we're a little bit uncertain about him. And you just don't want a goalkeeper that's a little bit uncertain because that probably means the back four or back three are second guessing themselves as well. And it's just a bit of a spiral. So I like him. I think he has the ability. I think he makes some good saves, but I just think his inconsistency and some of those errors might well be spell the end for his time at Charlton. But yeah, I guess it depends on how many signings we can make over the summer and where we prioritise. But yeah, it will certainly be an interesting one. And I don't think Tuesday night's performance has done him any favours, at least.
So where are we now? 5 wins out of the last 8, you know, 3 wins out of the last 4 on the road. It's not bad form at the moment. And we've thrown in a couple of proper wobblies in there when you think about the performances away at Wimbledon, or, you know, the mistakes we made at home to Morecambe, and obviously we lost to Lincoln in that time as well. Whilst playing okay, to be fair, but again, that soft underbelly of the defence that can rear its head at times. We saw that. How are we feeling going into the end of the season? I know we want it over. We want that over, and we want there to be an overhaul. But I'd say when we're looking at sort of mid-March, we were all saying, right, we need to end the season strongly to be in a position to build upon something next year. I mean, are we doing that? 5 wins out of 8 is certainly better than it was 2 or 3 months ago when we had those players out and we were losing 5 out of 7, or 6 out of 7 it was.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, are we, you know, with the performances, you know, the last few weeks, is it making me excited for next season? Not really, but I suppose it all depends on the, you know, the transfer windows and stuff. I just think the whole season's been so inconsistent. Obviously it started rubbish, then it sort of upturned a little bit when Jacko come in, then when it went down again, then we had a little bit of an uplift, beat Rotherham, you go, right, okay, maybe we're going to put in a strong end, and then lose, and then win. And it's just, I don't know what team's going to turn up. You know, I think Tom just said in terms of Mac, in terms of his inconsistent performance, I think apart from maybe a select couple, the whole squad's really been not been consistent enough, really. But, I mean, yeah, the kit, like Jacko says it in his post-match, you know, the key is now to end on a high, try and be positive for next season and try and build on it. But I think a lot of that is going to be down to the recruitment, because there's obviously quite a lot of players to go out and in, and come in, sorry. So, yeah, I don't know how it's going. It wouldn't surprise me if we lose 2-0 and then go and beat Ipswich last game of the season 3-0. Do you know, that's the sort of... the way I'm seeing things at the moment, I just don't know which team's going to turn up. Because on our day, which we showed earlier in the season when Jacko first took over with Plymouth and the Rotherham home game and the Ipswich game, on our day we can, but we're not that team enough, and that's why we are where we are in the league. So, yeah, I'm just hopefully we'll try and get some performances in there, because, again, like I just said earlier, I don't know, there's not many players. If I'm looking at that squad and going, right, of next season, who do I want in that starting 11? Jaden, Dobbo, maybe Clare, like maybe Washington. Like, there's only a couple. Usually you'd have a good 8, and then you try and just sort of get some extra additions to help the squad out. But again, we're back at square one again. We're going to have to do a massive overhaul. So I suppose we'll just have to see how these next 2 games pan out.
And we'll discuss contract situations in a little moment in time. I'll speak to Jacko about that, but also did ask Jacko just on Tuesday for his thoughts on the win over Cambridge. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, good win, good performance, professional, 2 scrappy goals, but sometimes it's nice to score them, because
sometimes I feel like we've got to score the perfect goal and it's got to be set up brilliantly, and you know, we don't take all the chances that we create. I think, you know, we're probably not ruthless enough. That's probably been one of the criticisms of us this season, that we have created a lot but not enough to show for it at times. So to get two scrappy ones is nice, but you know, they come about because of our attacking intent. So you know, they all count, and we'll take them.
I was hoping they were going to find a replay that suggested Corey Blackett-Taylor's initial shot was on target, because it would have been nice if he'd got a goal for his hard work this evening.
Was it own goal then? Yeah, no, I mean,
I haven't seen it back, but yeah,
it was a big deflection. But again, he was a menace all night, wasn't he? And I thought they had a really good sort of tussle, him and Bennett at right back, the young lad. I thought he conducted himself really well, and Corey had to really be on his game to cause him trouble, which he did, which he'll cause anyone trouble, especially the form that he's in. So really pleased for him that he's had that contribution. Hopefully he gets the goal, because you know, his performances at the minute warrant that.
So it's not the target we started off the season with, but it would be nice to get a top half finish, and that result today keeps that alive as well.
Yeah, I just keep saying that. I want to win every game. I want to win every game that we play. It's disappointing that we didn't win last week. I thought we should have got at least something from the game. So that one, I mean, it hurts me when we don't, because I know that what we're capable of on our day. So, yeah, can we... We won tonight professionally. I thought the lads were brilliant as far as their attitude and their endeavour. That's all I want to see in the next two games, that we go out there and we play, you know, like it really means something and like it's for something, and we'll see what we can get from it.
It's great to see Connor back on the score sheet again. Perhaps a slice of luck, but given the amount of chances he's had recently, sometimes as a striker you need one like that.
Well, exactly. Again, he's deserved that because of the work that he does for the team, the tireless runs that he makes, the chances that he creates sometimes all on his own. He's missed a couple of opportunities tonight, and then he gets a goal like that. So, you know, it doesn't matter how they come. I'm a big believer that if you keep doing the right things, then you get your rewards, and that's the case in point there for Connor.
For a bit of a dead rubber game, 1,000 fans to come out of London on a Tuesday night to Cambridge, you can't help but be impressed by that.
Fantastic. As always, really humbled by the support that we always get. You know, like you say, it's not always been sort of happy travelling for those guys this season. So for them to keep coming out, to keep supporting the lads the way that they do is outstanding. You know, credit to the football club. Really pleased again on the back of the Rotherham one the other week, that we can send them not as far down the road this time, but with something to shout about.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Into the box, looking for Stockley, he gets it in, and there's the opening goal. Charlton scored, a delivery absolutely perfect from Albie Morgan, picks out Stockley, who rose first and flicked it past Fisher for the opening goal.
Yeah, and that is a very, very difficult ball to defend if you're a centre-half. I know you want to look at it from Stockley's point of view. He was aggressive. He got above the centre-half. He pinned him so he couldn't make a jump and attack the ball. And then once you've done that, it's just a case of getting contact onto the football itself and directed towards goal. He did that. We find ourselves one in front, but a delightful delivery from Albie Morgan.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview, turning our attention to the game with Shrewsbury a bit later on, but we're just looking back at the game with Cambridge in the week and just heard from Johnny Jackson there. I asked Nath just before the break, Tom. I guess he'll feel like, you know, he's steadied the ship a little bit in those last eight games where we've won five of them. I do stand by. I think in that eight there have been some pretty poor performances, to go with some all right ones as well. But it is just, considering it is and has been for a while now, Tom, just about getting towards the end of this season intact, whatever you take that to mean. I guess Jackson has needed this little run of wins just so we can go on a slightly more stable footing into the summer.
Yeah, that's exactly that. It's that stability. And I think Nath kind of made the point in his last answer that you just don't really know what sort of team are going to turn up. This is a team that have beaten some of the best teams in this league. Some of those performances good, some of them not. They've lost to some of the worst teams in this league. Some of those performances have been very good, some of them haven't. There's been games we've lost where the expected goals have been sort of three or four in our favour. There have been games we've won, like Tuesday night, where we've just been scrappy and deflected goals have won the game. It's been such a mismatch of performances, of results, that I've seen lots of people on Twitter saying they haven't really got any affinity for this Charlton side. And, you know, they don't really get it or don't bond with them or don't feel that love that they have for other teams. And I kind of get that because you don't really know enough about them. You've only really got the people that we've mentioned, you know, a lot on this show, pretty much Dobson and maybe one or two others who you could call consistent. And again, as Nath said earlier in the show, even he had a few poor performances at the start of the season. So it's just been a very, very disappointing, maybe understate it, season. And a lot needs to change. And I know Thomas said a couple of months ago he was looking at maybe five or six signings, did he say? But I think it's going to take a lot more than that, because I think the whole ethos needs to change. And you're right, I think the one man that will be happy with these results is Johnny Jackson, because it has stabilised it. They had that little wobble. We obviously stayed safe of relegation, which, whilst not a huge positive, is, you know, the least we could hope for. But if he can end on a positive, you know, we haven't been conceding as many sloppy goals in the same way as we were. I'd still argue some of them have been, but not in the same way as we had, where we were going week in, week out with that back three and the wing backs being an issue. So maybe they're starting to settle in the formation, and maybe some of what he's saying is getting through. And I think I'm still in the majority when I say I think he deserves next year and a full shot at it. I know there are some people who don't think that, and that's totally fair enough. But I think let's see what we can do in the summer and go from there. But you're right, it stopped the rot, it settled things. And yeah, if we can end on a positive, you know, that's really all we can take from these final two games now.
Yeah, well, let's start to look ahead to the future then, of course, with the end of the season in sight now. I wanted to know from the gaffer, Johnny Jackson, how things are progressing in terms of planning for next year. You may have seen that Thomas Sandgaard is in the country now. He's over for a bit of an extended stay. So I asked Jacko if Sandgaard being in the country means that the plans for next season are starting to ramp up.
Yeah, they're ongoing, but obviously him being over means that, you know, we'll get to spend more time together. We'll see more of him at the training ground, and probably as a consequence you'll have more of those discussions face to face. I think definitely helps as well, and you know, hopefully we can progress those and really sort of nail down where we want to go with it, the types that we want to bring in that's going to help us improve on the pitch and move the club forward.
I mean, have contracts started to be offered to the likes of the players that are going to be going out of contract that you'd like to keep at this moment in time?
No, nothing's been offered out yet, but obviously, you know, that's their ongoing discussions. That's obviously not I don't deal with that side of it. You know, we talk about the ones that we like, that we want to keep around the place, and then it's obviously over to the people above to decide, you know, how that looks exactly and how those negotiations and discussions take place. So that's obviously an ongoing thing.
Yeah, I mean, are the players sort of party to that? I mean, with the ones who know that you want to keep them sort of know at this time, and vice versa, the ones who know they're probably not going to stay on, do they know at this time, or is that something that gets discussed at the end of the season?
Well, honestly, I don't get involved in that. It's my job just to work with the players, and I stay well out of that. I don't want that to impact on the football side of things. So I obviously I have my opinion on it. That's obviously part of the group stance between myself and the owners and the people above. But don't let that feed into my discussions with players and the football side of it, because you know, I just want to keep that, keep their focus. Whoever's out of contract and whoever's playing or whatever, it's my job to try and make sure that their focus is fully on what's going on the football pitch and not elsewhere.
There we go. So that's Jacko. And I asked him about the contract situations, Nathan. And some interesting stuff. I mean, the thing I found most interesting, first of all, and we'll hear what Connor has to say on it as well in a minute, is the fact that currently there's no contract offers on the table for anyone, and that does include, you know, the likes of players we might want to keep. So I'd say Connor Washington is one I definitely want to keep. You know, you may or may not want to keep the likes of Ben Purrington or Piercy, who's out there. We saw, you know, Richard published an interview with Piercy where he said he hasn't really been given too much information at the moment. He's still in very early discussions, so he's got to keep his options open. I mean, nothing's happened yet. Is that, are you surprised by that we haven't started to get that ball rolling yet?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, usually you'd start conversations early, but I mean, when Jacko first come in and when we found out we weren't going up or down, he did say, you know, there were players there playing for their contracts and their futures, and he's obviously kept his word to that because he's not made a decision yet. So maybe it's a good thing that because some players might get too comfortable thinking they are just going to automatically get a contract. And another thing, we don't know what the budget is. We can easily offer a contract to the likes of Connor or Piercy, but if we've been set a budget and their representatives come in with X, it might be more than we're willing to pay. So I would imagine that's probably why Thomas is over here, and they're probably just going to speak to Jacko and go, right, who do you want? Who don't you want? Get rid of those deadwood. And then if, you know, because they might have targets that might be cheaper in essence, you know, because I think next year for me is I don't want to go down the route of getting people like, you know, Gunter's a good professional, but I'd rather younger players, hungrier players from League Two or the National League, where, you know, they're really hungry, because I think that's what we want, because otherwise you just end up with that dead wood. But yeah, it surprises me a little bit, but then at the same time, he said they've got to play for it, and we shouldn't be offering contracts out willy-nilly, should we? So, I'd be surprised if he's not offered something, Connor, and maybe Piercy, but who knows? Who knows what Jacko's thinking?
I mean, Tom, is there any concern that we, you know, last year we were sort of behind the timing of where we felt we should have been as a transfer window as a whole? So are you concerned that could happen again based on what we've heard about this? Or am I getting ahead of myself there?
I'm surprised. I don't know if I'm concerned yet, but I'm surprised we haven't started to make those conversations. But again, with him here now, Thomas, maybe they will start to move very quickly. Maybe behind the scenes they've had those conversations and they've said, we want to offer this player this deal, this player this deal. Maybe he actually wants to be there to get the words on paper and get those contracts out. I don't know how much the kind of handover of club secretary has had a role and how much that role is involved, whether it's just the paperwork or not. But yeah, I'm not concerned yet. I am surprised. But yeah, I think for me, I think Thomas has to accept that there's an element of a rebuild needed in the summer, because these players have not lived up to what we hoped for. And so for me, it's more a focus on who can we get in and how quickly can we do that business, because I think that's really what sets us back. You know, I don't know when these contracts expire. It's usually around the 1st of June or something, isn't it? So we've got a bit of time with them, but with the new players, as soon as that window's open, you need to hit the ground running and bring some players in. And that's the bit really that I would be more concerned about. If we go 2 or 3 weeks into the transfer window and we haven't brought anybody new in, then I would certainly be concerned, particularly if these contracts at that point still aren't sorted. So no, I'm not too worried yet, but now he's here, I think he needs to get to work and they need to move fast to secure the players they want. And as I say, to start to identify some targets and prep that ready so that when the window opens, we can bring them in as well.
Yeah, I mean, Jacko was talking about how he doesn't get too involved with the contract situation. I guess he says he provides his opinion on players. Again, I mean, would you expect him to be more or less involved in that, Nathan? Is that, are we reading too much into that?
I think nowadays in the modern game, I think you've got we ain't got a CEO or a director of football, I don't think. Or Steve might be the director for Warhead like Scouting.
Director or something. Of football, not exactly those terms, but he's got a similar name. And then obviously there's Martin Sangard, who's very much involved in this the thing as well. Thing. And then obviously Thomas Sangard, so he has to go through the likes of Gallen and the two Sangards first.
Yeah, I think back in the day, a manager may have been a little bit more involved in terms of the numbers and stuff. But nowadays, as it's more football's going down the road of a sort of business sort of road, I think the managers or the coaches are just focused on the playing squad. They'll have their opinions on who they want and stuff, or what sort of players or what sort of attributes they want to fit a system. But it doesn't surprise me that Jacko won't get involved with the nitty-gritty of money and contracts and stuff like that. We've got to work to a budget. I would imagine it's still going to be quite a healthy budget. I think Jacko will just go, these are the players I want, or the types of players I want. Can I have them, please? And the proof will be in the pudding, whether it's done early or late. So I think Sangard did say he wanted to get it done early. And I think we all want that, but at the same time, we have to be realistic and understand the role of agents as well. And sometimes it's never that straightforward to get everything done early. I know Powley did it once, but you know that's in an ideal world, and it might not be as quick as we all want. I think you might see a couple of ones, but I don't think we're going to have everything done by the time the pre-season starts, put it that way.
Right, let's hear what Connor Washington has to say then on the contract situation. Obviously, we all know he is one of the players whose contract runs out at the end of the season. I asked him on Tuesday if he's been given any indication so far as to where his future lies.
No, he's very much in the club's hands, to be honest. Obviously, it's getting later in the season. I just want to finish the season strong, stay fit, get a couple of goals, and obviously see what happens in the summer.
Would you like to stay? Have you made your mind up on that yet?
No, it's not something I've been obviously concerning myself with too much, to be honest. I just want to try and score as many goals and do as well as I can, and then obviously, hopefully, the club will probably open discussions or not open discussions whenever the season finishes.
Would you expect it to have heard something by now? Have you been given any indication from anyone?
Like I say, I just want to get to the end of the season and just see what happens.
There we go, Connor. Wasn't getting drawn into my last question, was he, Tom? I asked him if he felt surprised that he hasn't heard anything yet, and he didn't say either way. It was a very experienced answer, I'd have to say. It must be tough for a player who doesn't know where his future lies, and he may be thinking, well, do I have to go out and see what my options are now?
Yeah, very non-committal on the face of it, but as you say, I think it was a man who's been in the business a little while and is experienced in giving those answers, because like you, I would think, behind the scenes, he probably is thinking a little bit about that. Ultimately, these players, whilst they're paid well, they're not paid enough to be able to retire at 35 and call it a day. So they need to be thinking about that next contract, because it's gonna need to sustain them for a little while. So I'm sure he's thought about it. I also think he's right in, obviously fans want to hear that he's concentrated on getting back amongst the goals, but yeah, for them, it might be a concern. I think there is an element where, because we're safe, and I think this is shown in some of the performances, that they can slightly relax during games. It's not like we're playing for promotion or we're fighting relegation and he's got this contract situation hanging over his head. So I think he's perhaps able to be a little bit more relaxed to that extent and maybe focus on it a little bit more. But yeah, ultimately, he's going to want a decision either way. I'm surprised he's keeping his cards close to his chest about whether he wants to stay or not. I don't know necessarily whether that would harm his perspective from a negotiation. Perhaps it would. Personally, I'd like to see him stay. I think he certainly offers us enough, and I think he's a good option for us. But we'll have to wait and see. So, it was a diplomatic answer from him, but I definitely think that behind the scenes and once he's away from the camera, there's probably more going on with him and his people around him that he wants to get something sorted, or he's looking elsewhere and trying to get something sorted elsewhere.
You just wonder if he would say if there was frustration from his end on that sort of thing. But, like I say, you heard the answer he gave, and it was very very much a straight bat. He could certainly get into the England cricket team. Or I don't know if Northern Ireland have a cricket team. He can get into that one as well. Let's have a look. I did speak one more time to Connor, actually. I did ask him about his goal return, actually, because, of course, on Tuesday evening, it was his first goal in six games. That takes him up to 11 now for the season in league games. I asked Connor how pleased he was to get his first in a little while on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a drought, to be honest. Obviously, I've had lots of chances in these games. Disappointing not to score, and then one hits you on the back of the head and goes in the top corner. So that's the life of a striker, as obviously I've quoted a few times this year, and it's just nice to be getting the chances consistently throughout the season, and it's up to me to make sure they're going in the back of the net on a more consistent basis.
You're saying to Tom as we're walking down, you see one going like that off the back of the head, you wouldn't be surprised if you go and get a couple more before the end of the season now.
Yeah, exactly. Probably had two or three chances I should have done better with tonight, and then, like you say, one of those goes in. So yeah, the aim is to get sort of 2, 3, 4, why not more towards the end of the season. We've got two good games and hopefully two wins as well.
What have you made of your goal return this season? It's not been too disappointing. You've had some good spells where you've got a few goals in a row, but I guess strikers always want to get a couple more, especially when they've had a few chances recently.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, obviously I've played since the gaffer's come in, obviously I played up front in a two, and I think my goal returns a hell of a lot better than when I was stuck out wide left, to be honest, in the first sort of 11-12 games of the season. I think I scored one, so I think as a striker I'd like to be judged off the second part of the season. I think 11 in 23-24, I think I should have scored more for sure, but I think in a partnership where Jaden's scoring as well, I think the goal return's relatively healthy. But obviously as a striker, like you say, you're hungry for more, and when you're getting chances, you feel like you should be scoring more.
Yeah, game today was it's quite a tight one in the chances at both ends, really, but Charlton managed to find a way to win in the end, and it's not the aim we started the season with, but it keeps the chances of finishing the top half, which is something to aim for between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, it's just really disappointing, to be honest, the whole season. Obviously we got off to such a bad start, it was always going to be almost impossible to claw that back, and I think we had such a good go at it, and I think the manager's been brilliant. I think his record speaks for itself since he's come in, to be honest. And that was obviously when you lose three big names, big characters, big strikers as well. So like I say, it's ultimately disappointing, but hopefully something to build on.
That's Connor Washington once more. I found that really interesting, actually, the way he wants to be judged, Nathan, on his experiences under Jacko. You know, his goal return under Jacko. So he's been playing as a part of a central front two, isn't he, under Jacko, whereas he was wide left for Nigel Adkins. One in ten, and then he's gone from 1 in 10 to 10 in 23, I think it was, when I looked up the numbers the other day. I mean, so that 10 in 23 under Jacko, one goal just shy of every two games, I mean, that's not a bad return, is it?
No, I don't think it's a bad return at all. I think if you look at his career, even looking at all these games for Charlton, I think he's 1 in 3 altogether, even taking into account those times he was playing left wing, and there was a couple of other stints where he was going like 1 in 3 or 1 in 4. So yeah, I think he's right to say that, because I think that's only a fair assessment, really. Because I mean, when him playing out on the left was more like a graveyard shift, really. He was doing more going backwards because we were so poor at the time than going forward. So I think that's a fair assessment. I think everyone can see that. You know, I know in recent weeks he's probably fluffed a few chances, and he knows that. But I agree with Tom. I think he's a good player for this level. I'd give him a contract, but I do think we need someone else similar to him. I think we've got Chucks and Jaden, who are big, powerful players. I do think if Connor doesn't play, you notice it. So I do think we need someone else. I think in this league, you need four good strikers, two of similar ilk, if that's the way we're going to play with two up top. So, yeah, I think he's fair to say that. And I think everyone can tell how better he is playing through the middle off of someone else than playing out on the wing, where he's quite ineffective, because he's not really a player that's going to, you know, take players on and cut inside and shoot, or, you know, he's a clever player and he's an industrial striker, so that's where he should be playing.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's have a look at some of the messages then that have come in over the last few days. Reece said it was a professional performance on Tuesday. That continued the trend of such a Jekyll and Hyde season. It's bizarre how we've kept 15 clean sheets but lost 20 other league games. I would defo keep Washington and Jake Forster-Caskey and maybe a couple of others for backup, but an overhaul is needed. Flynn Diesel says it was a good performance on Tuesday night. It's been a real mixed bag of a season, but 5 wins in our last 8 and improving away results is a good start. Would suggest that League One is becoming a much more challenging for promotion than, say, 10 years ago. But let's hope we're heading in the right direction. Tom says it was an okay performance on Tuesday with Corey Blackett, Taylor and Pierce as standouts for me. I'd keep Washington, Purrington, Jake Forster-Caskey and get Fainwo on a perm, as well as Pierce has done recently. I can't see him being part of a promotion winning side again. Too many errors for my liking. That's from Tom. Got a couple of emails that have come into studio at charltonlive.co.uk as well. Phil says, nice to see us getting the rub of the green with a couple of deflections that normally happen at the other end. I would like to point out that I think you got the wrong end of the stick when I wrote the other day that we needed a poacher. I wasn't suggesting that either Stockley or Washington weren't performing, but I think we would be better off playing Stockley with a poacher up top, allowing Washington to roam the channels as he does. We may have someone to mop up the loose balls in the area, as at the moment we create plenty of chances, but block shots, rebounds, deflections are all cleared away, as we don't have anyone in the box with that instinctive poacher attitude. Let's hope for another strong performance on Saturday and for the final match at Ipswich, and hopefully a finish in the top half. I do wonder if the reason that JJ is not giving youngsters a run in these dead games is that the requirement for his contract extension is a top half finish. Distributed around 500 flowers for the flyers for the club around New Eltham, promoting Shrewsbury at home and next season tickets, and got numerous positive comments along the way. That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil. Gary said, not sure I've heard this mentioned yet, but next season starts early at the end of the end of July rather than in August due to the World Cup in Qatar. This makes the transfer business getting done quickly all the more important this time. I think an announcement of a new signing or new contracts for key players will lift the mood to the dull end of the season. Enjoy the pod as ever. That's from Tony G. Yeah, that's a good point that the season does start a fair bit earlier again, which does reiterate, as Tony said, that we do want to get this contract and these signings sorted as early as possible, because we don't want to be playing catch up again. Right, McSquared says a very scrappy game indeed, a plethora of errors from both sides on Tuesday, but Washington was back in the starting lineup and surprise surprise we won. Yes, both goals were the result of wicked deflections, but we did more than enough to deserve the win based on the number of shots we had on target. Our midfield were guilty of conceding possession far too often again, but fortunately Cambridge had insufficient quality to take advantage. Our defence looked rather vulnerable again at times, particularly in the first half, but at least we managed to keep a clean sheet on this occasion. Once again, Blackett-Taylor was by far our best player, was a menace to the Cambridge defence all game. I would say Blackett-Taylor, Washington, assuming he stays, Stockley and Dobson have all proved their worth and deserve to be part of our promotion push next season, with Anike at least worthy as a role as super sub. Hopefully Pierce will stay around as a player. Coach Forster-Caskey will be fit enough to play a pivotal role in midfield. Clare has proved himself to be a useful squad player, at least as far as the rest of the squad are concerned. The jury is well and truly out, and clearly wholesale changes are needed if we are going to have a realistic chance of reaching the championship. As things stand, we are a million miles off that, unfortunately. Yeah, you're not wrong there, McSquared, as the fact we're conversing about trying to finish in the top half goes on to suggest. Right, we've got one more email as well, and now this is from a former Charlton Live member from I'm going to say about 10 years ago, Matt Fricker. So that any of you have been listening to the show for longer than some of us have been on it, we'll remember Matt. He was on it before even I was back in the day, but I think we maybe overlapped just a little bit. But Matt was a very valued member of the Charlton Live team a little while ago, and he says he's loving the current incarnation of the podcast. Having sat through the shower of manure after shower of manure this season whilst listening to your excellent show, I started thinking about next season. Long email ahead, so please skim if you want to, but no, I'm going to go into it because he's really done his homework on this. He said 10 years ago I got pilloried on Charlton Live for writing this blog on the New Shopper website, where he's talking about Chris Powell's football beginning to take hold at Charlton, even though, of course, you remember 10 years ago, we were sort of going through the back of a very... Well, 11 years ago, we were going through the back of a very difficult ending to the season. He says the Charlton Live forum on that, where I was cancelled before it was cool, is charmingly funny to read a decade on, as my belief that Powell would come good was heavily disputed. And I guess you can imagine that there's plenty of similar comments around Jacko this time. So the Matt goes on to go to say, 11 years ago, I felt that Powell had a style of football he wanted to play, and the players we had weren't good enough to ensure we could win. But the right players in place, we'd start to succeed. And then Matt says, the problem I currently have is I don't think we're in the same place with Johnny Jackson at all. He has the style of football, which is a 3-5-2 with wing backs running down the wings and getting the ball into the box. He does not have the players to play in that style of football. If the style is not working in a game, we see him unable to keep challenging for 3 points. When Powell played 4-4-2, we'd seem to switch it, being more attacking, defensive, and a cohesive team, depending on how the game was going, with every single player giving their all the whole time. At the moment, I feel we're slightly more positive version of Adkins Ball, where we have a plan, but if it doesn't work, we're hoping not to lose again. It says he sees the Morecambe game as the perfect example. I hope that a summer of 20-plus player changes will see Jacko come good, but I don't feel like this will happen, or he will have the chance to have it happen. Beside foolish hope, what do you guys and the panel feel Sangar, Jackson and co can realistically do to ensure that next season isn't also a massive disappointment? I would expect TS to be demanding a pizza and league double, as that is what I'd want if I were the owner. Thanks again for an incredible show. Hope you and your loved ones are well. Yeah, we're all good, Matt. Thanks thanks for getting in touch. I mean, loads of points in there, Tom. Yeah, I mean, the comparisons to the first half of season under Powell, where it was pretty bad, actually, if we remember. And obviously where we have been with Jacka. I mean, Matt felt at that point he saw a way to sort of bounce back, and he doesn't this year. Your views on that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. I think we've tried, I think, to be relatively careful about direct comparisons because of just how amazing that following season was and how much of a one-off it was. But you've got a club legend coming back in, first proper stint in management. I think a lot of the crossover is similar. I think Powell won his first four games in a row, did he, before he started to go on that run?
Yeah, 1-4, and then I think we went about 13 without a win, if I remember.
Yeah, and Jacko's done similar in terms of starting well and then sort of limping to a finish. So the similarities are there, and I would definitely agree with that bit. The next bit, obviously, is just a prediction. I think it's astute to base it on what he's seen, and I think his slightly more positive Adkins Ball, I think there is a lot of merit in what he's saying. I don't know if I'm just a dreamer, but I've got a feeling that next season will be positive. And I like to think that Jacko can do something here. As I say, whether that's just that I'm, you know, want it to happen as opposed to what I'm actually seeing, that might be the case. But I do think he's got something. I do think he needs an element of flexibility or an element of finding a way to grind results out. And I'm not sure we entirely have that yet. But maybe he can get that in that season. In next season. You know, I don't know whether Powell necessarily had that at the end of the first season, but it was something he then developed once he had a full campaign and once he had those players. So I think it's perhaps a bit easier to predict that now, but I wonder whether actually we need to wait and see a few games next year if he's got the players that he wants. At that point, if we still feel the same, or if Matt still feels the same, then totally a point well made. But I just wonder if we need to wait and see what he can do with the squad that he wants, in the same way we did with Pauly.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating summer. And, let's just hope that we do start off well next season. But as we've said, whatever happens in this transfer window will play a massive bearing on that. Right, we have got our final home game of the season to look ahead to. Johnny Jackson was asked to look ahead to that match today during his press day. He was asked what his message was to the supporters ahead of the last game at the Valley this season.
Yeah, I mean, like I always say, just want to thank everyone for their support throughout the season. Obviously, it's not gone the way that we wanted, but that's certainly through no lack of effort from the supporters, the way they followed us, obviously at home in numbers, but certainly up and down the country as well, with some of the journeys that they've had to make, the numbers that they've come in, and the support that they've brought. And obviously, it hasn't always gone. We haven't always sent them away happy either. Yeah, they still turn up week in, week out to support us, and just want to thank them for that. It really does help. And obviously next season we want to try and give them more to shout about.
Shrewsbury up on Saturday, their place, last minute winner in a game we could have won. It's a familiar story, I suppose. And that was your first league defeat as manager, I think. So you owe them one a bit, do you?
Again, looking back on that game, disappointed to lose it. Certainly felt we was in the ascendancy in it and should have won. But at least get a draw out of the game, and then we had that sucker punch late on, which was tough to take. So, yeah, well, I put that one right, definitely. Tough game, team in good form, decent form, and they got some good players that they carry threats over the pitch. So, won't be easy. We need to be up against it. Get right up against them, and obviously we'll be doing that in our last home game. Obviously, we want to put in a good performance. We want to try and score some goals, give the supporters something to shout about. So hopefully it'll be a good game.
And how's the squad looking? Is there a possibility? You know, we missed out on Elliot Lee and Scott Fraser because of couldn't make it in previous games. Is there a possibility they could figure in either any of the last two?
Certainly not Saturday for either of those guys. And Ben Perrington as well missed out in the week, and he probably won't make the weekend either. But hopefully we could see those guys play some sort of part in the final game.
Just lastly from me, Johnny, it's up each day Saturday. Fans, nearly 200 of them, are going to walk from the training ground to the valley in support of the upbeats and trying to raise money for the upbeats. You're talking about putting smiles on fans' faces. The upbeats never fail to do that. And so it'll be a special day Saturday, regardless of it being the last home game at the valley. You're hoping to be able to get a look at the upbeats playing on the pitch on Saturday before the game?
Yeah, I'll definitely pop my head out and have a look at those guys. Really enjoyed the work that, you know, that I've done with them in the past, and they love playing football, they love coming to the games and supporting, and so it's great that we can give something back to those guys. The work everyone does involved with the upbeats is fantastic. Really proud of the work that we do as a football club with those guys, and be good to see them all, be good to put some smiles on faces and see them have a kick about.
Okay, that's Jacko. Speaking about the upbeats walk at the very end there, Nathan, very much looking forward to that as per usual. I think we're all doing it, so it'd be good to see everyone down there and you've limbering up the old hammies for that one.
Oh, yeah. I'll be doing my little stretches. I know that's an image for you. But, no, I'm looking forward to it, mate. It'd be good to... I don't know how my knee's going to cope, you know, but, you know, I'll get through it and be good to catch up and have a nice little brisk walk before a game. Catch up with the upbeats, see everyone involved, and it's a good cause, you know, raise some money for it, which is good, because obviously it all goes to them or any money's raised. So, yeah, it'll be a good day. Hoping that we can get round it without my knee falling off, which would be a nice thing for me.
Blessing in disguise, if anything. So we'll do a bit more on the Upbeats Walk on Sunday show. We'll have a little audio diary of our trip around, hopefully speak to some of the celebrity guests as well, like Nathan. Looking ahead to the game, obviously Jacko's spoken about the importance, you know, he's thanked the fans for their support. You know, it's been a disappointing campaign, spoken about the importance of ending strongly and no more so against a Shrewsbury side who... Yeah, have been a bit an old foe for us, obviously from the playoff days. But they're ending the season reasonably strongly, Shrews, and they've got some players that can harm you, as we found out in the away game when we got beaten. It's going to be a tough test, and you know, I mean, if we are serious about finishing this top half, then that's something we've got to. I mean, they've gone four without a win now, Shrewsbury, but they had won the three before that. You know, they've got Udo, who's been scoring goals as well. So it's not going to be an easy one, Tom.
No, it's not, and I don't think there has been many easy ones this year. I think there seems to be a lot of goals in a lot of their games, so maybe we'll see something similar to the Morecambe game. And I think, look, I've been very openly cynical towards the end of this season. You know, it's been hard to come on here and talk about games when, you know, we've just been safe and haven't really been that fussed about what's happening. But having said all of that, I don't take Charlton for granted, and the last home game of the season is always a good occasion, but at the same time you're always tinged with that little bit of, you know, you're not going to be back there for a couple of months. So with the upbeats walk as well, there's, and obviously the weather, if it stays like it is at the moment, it's usually like a good sort of celebration. I know the season hasn't gone the way we want, but you got the feel good of the upbeats walk. If we could get a result, you know, if the sun's out, if we get a few people down at the valley for, you know, get a good crowd, it would be nice to end the season on that, because as I say, it's been, I'm not alone in kind of being very dismissive of recent games, but it would be nice to end on a high. And yeah, as you say, Shrewsbury no mugs. I don't know if they're mathematically safe now, maybe not quite, or maybe just, but you know, I don't think they'll be going down either way. So it'll be another bit of a mid-table clash similar to the Cambridge United one. And as you say, all we can really push for is that top half of the table and ending the season on a high. So I haven't enjoyed a lot of the games recently, but I am looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, they've got an 11-point cushion and there's three games left for Fleetwood, so they are just about safe by at least 2 points, depending on how those games go. I mean, there was a good thread on the forum this week, Nath, and I'll ask your opinion. I mean, traditionally at the end of the season, they tend to have a lap of, I don't think you could call it honour most seasons, and certainly not this one. Are you going to be hanging about to cheer the boys off?
I'll probably, you know, it depends really on the result. If I'm fuming, then I'll probably just go straight to the pub, to be honest. But do you know what? Like, if the game finishes and they just do a little bit of a walk around and then clap them off, yeah. But I think if they go in the tunnel and then get, you know, the whole families and start playing football, I don't think there's many people going to be there, you know. I think it's been a disappointing season and they know that. I think they should just go around, give a thank you. Thank you very much. Hopefully next year's better. So, and some of them will be saying goodbye. But if we don't get pumped, then yeah, I'll probably stay there and give them a clap. But I'm not going to be like asking for one of their shirts or anything like that.
That would be classic if they do. Cause surely they won't go into the tunnel and go and get the kids. Surely it will be as soon as the full-time whistle goes. Because if they go into the tunnel and go and get the kids and that, by the time they come out, they'll just be the groundsman just doing the forking on the pitch. They'll be like, oh, they'll be weaving in and out of the lawnmowers and that'll be it, really. So, yeah, timing issue is important on Saturday if they do choose to do a lap of appreciation for the support, is what I think they should call it. Right, we've come to the end of this week's Charlton Live Big Match Preview, our penultimate Big Match Preview of the season. Also, Tom, likely to be your last show because you're going off to get married. So good luck for that and commiserations.
Thank you very much.
Nice. We will see you at your wedding in the evening after Ipswich. So that, again, if we've lost, then I don't know if we're going to hang around, really, are we, Nath?
Well, to be fair, I got an email from Tom today saying that I've had to be the vicar, so I'll be there all day. Yeah, that's going to be an experience, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
blimey, good luck, Tom.
Really are scraping the barrel. that vicar policy feels a lot like our transfer policy in the summer where we just got what we could take, but there we go. Right, so thanks to everyone. Thanks to Tom for your contributions throughout the season. Hopefully we're going to hear from Nath before the end of the season, so I won't thank him too voraciously just yet. But thanks for this evening, Tom.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for this evening, Nathan.
Cheers, boys.
Good to speak to the pair of you. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. And we will see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.